Hey, thanks for checking out our show. If you like what you hear, we have tons of additional content at patreon.com/themedialunchbreak.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, after I did the I increased your volume by 828%.
It's the first time anyone has ever had to increase my volume to hear me.
That's probably not true.
Oh.
In fact, we did this last week.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
You're a fucking liar.
Well, not the first time I've been called that.
Wait, why is this full of things that are either the first time or not the first time?
It's the first time anyone's ever said that to me.
Well, also, doesn't that describe literally everything? Like, literally everything is either the first time or not the first time.
That's interesting. You know, I've never considered that. That's the first time I've ever considered that.
This is going to be the first time I hang up on you so early in the show, but not the last.
That's fair. It's not the first time I've gotten that.
Oh, before. For fuck's sake. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Feeling way better now.
I'm feeling fantastic. That's probably not true, but right now I'm riding this wave. I don't know when it's
from. We're going to be teaching a class in a couple days.
We're going to be teaching a class. Actually, by the time this comes out, we'll have taught the class.
Yeah.
And ruined the class.
Yeah, and it was great for us, horrible for everyone else.
There was a lot more crying than I thought there was going to be. And I thought there was going to be a lot
nudity.
Of crying. Yeah. That was unexpected. Actually, that's a lie.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe for you.
Yeah. Well, that was crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Let's do it again next year.
Okay.
You seem preoccupied.
I'm so tired. I got like a 20-minute nap in the middle of the day.
Oh, that's good. How'd that go?
It was great.
Was it one of those naps that, like, you know when you take a nap and it's just, it's supposed to make you feel better and it does the exact opposite? You wake up and you're like, now I'm just groggy and angry.
I've never really had one of those before today.
You lucky
but today,
son of a bitch.
I know. Well, when I sleep, I sleep.
That's true.
But today, there's a game that my son likes to play where we pretend to sleep and then he comes over and screams, wake up, as loud as he can.
Oh, I play that game.
Yeah.
With you.
Yeah. And so after about 15 minutes of me actually sleeping, he decided to play that game.
Oh,
and
nice.
I was no longer sleeping.
Oh, that's nice. How long was the nap going to be?
I mean, as long as it needed to be.
Okay. So 8 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An 8-hour long nap.
Yep.
Probably longer. If I did not have an interruption,
yeah,
I could probably sleep like 12 to 14 hours.
That's, I feel like, I know that's enough sleep for the human body to stay healthy, but I feel like that's unhealthy. Like, if your body is sleeping for 12 to 14 hours, you might want to go to a doctor and be like, why does my body need
regularly?
Yeah. You're not talking about, you just meant today.
Well, I do mean at any point in time ever, but like if I kept doing that, I would stop eventually.
Oh, okay. That's what I was confused about.
Yeah. Like at any point I could sleep for 12 to 14 hours, but it's because I get an average of like 4.5 hours of sleep a night daily.
Ah, I see.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
But you know what makes me feel energized, Chris?
What's that?
Tabletop beard.
Tabletop beard. Wait, are we doing this now or should we start the show?
I don't know. Does it matter? Does anything matter?
Nothing matters.
Do you matter? Do I matter? Does this matter?
I think we've all established
that. Can I tell you something about this though?
Yeah.
It's the first time I've ever thought of this.
Everybody, welcome to the Media Lunch Break, bringing you all of your comic geek and movie news all in the time it takes to eat a good sandwich and perfectly set up an intro. My name is Chris Drabe. Alongside me, as always, is my co-host, Andrew Dunn. Say hello, Andrew.
Why, when nothing matters?
That's true. That's a good point. You know what does matter?
Tabletop beard. That's right. I've got it in right now.
I used it this morning. I used the, what did I use? Was it the dark chocolate and amber, I believe, oil?
Mm. You don't remember the names? That's the coolest part of tabletop beard is the names.
I actually get the bottle.
Why don't you go and check right now?
Because my son is in there sleeping.
Yeah, don't do it. In the bath? Wait, where do you keep it?
In the bedroom.
Why?
Because that's where I keep them.
Because that's where you use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is where I use it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Little oil.
Yeah. No, that's where I keep all the beard stuff. The beard stuff stays in the bedroom.
Interesting.
I'm getting dressed. I'm doing that. There's not enough room in the bathroom for it.
Do you wash your hands off after?
Usually. Although I have actually very dry hands naturally.
Oh.
So actually the oil kind of helps.
Yeah,
I can
it's
keep
a good
it
idea.
In there. I don't use it. I mean, for this beard, I don't use a lot. Anyway, I use maybe half a dropper.
The butter is good for that as well.
Yeah, I should.
That's really more of a moisturizer.
Yeah, it's getting to the thickness. Butter. I can use the. I might use the butter. One of these days.
I will say, in my experience, a longer beard is good for balm, but a butter, the way I usually do it, and I'm talking about this in my video review that I'm going to put out of this, is I'll do oil.
Yeah.
And then if I'm going out somewhere, I'll put in a balm, which is sort of like a wax
that hardens
and you can shape your beard.
Balms. Yeah.
Right. And so, but if I feel particularly dry during the day or at night, right before bed, I'll add a butter to the mix.
Ooh. You sleep in it?
I do.
Sleep in the butter?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It works like a lotion because it's basically just like beard oil and shea butter.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's getting, this is now starting to get to the length and thickness that like a butter can be used. Like you can't use
He's pointing at his penis.
Yes, I am. This is getting to the length now that I can use a butter. Cause if it's between the stubble and like, if it's in that, like, you know what I mean? Oil works fine. It gives a nice healthy glow.
Well, because oil also is not for your hair really. It is a little bit, it does help with that, but it's more for the skin underneath.
Yeah.
So it keeps it from getting, dry or scratchy or, ingrown hairs.
Right. So I'll use the oil when it's really, really short. Maybe after I just cleaned it up a little bit, and then the butter if it's getting a little thick and things like that.
You know what's wild that I do?
What's that?
If you keep an eye out on our YouTube channel, because you're going to see a little bit of me doing this. I'll put in the oil. I let it dry. Mm-hmm. And then after, so like 4 or 5 minutes of like getting ready or whatever, I put on my shirt and do everything else, brush my teeth maybe. I blow dry my beard.
Oh, do you?
Uh-huh. And then I add in the balm.
Ooh.
That's a trick I saw on a beard channel on YouTube.
Interesting. And I love that you're on a beard channel on YouTube.
Well, because I didn't know how to do any of this stuff when I first saw it. I was like, I have a beard and it's, you know, I don't do anything
and
with
it. And it's overrunning your life,
which is what a beard
typically does.
You know what kudzu is?
No.
Chris, Tabletop Beard mixes beard care and nerdiness in the best ways. They have everything your little nerd beard needs to stay healthy and smell great. They've got oils, butters, balms. We were just talking about, and over a dozen different scents. I use the Autumn Equinox is the one I use, which is like a vanilla coffee and spices.
Yeah.
Which is really, that's my favorite one so far, which makes me kind of sad because I'm almost through it and I probably should have saved it for the end, but it is very good. I'll probably be buying a full one of it at some point to use after I go through all the other oils that I have currently. So they've got all those different scents, including one like another scent that they have is Ranger, which smells like forest, fresh rain and leather. They also have Paladin, which smells like barbershop and amber. So head over to tabletopbeard.com for free shipping on orders of $50 or more, free returns within 30 days and get 10% off your first order when you sign up for their newsletter.
I just used Ranger yesterday, actually.
How was it?
I loved it. I love a good leather smell.
I love a good earthy. That's my palate
and
is earthy.
And I will say that Tabletop Beard has a good mixture, a good healthy variety of earthy.
They do.
Which is what you want.
There's like five of them that are like steel and leather and like the forest and stuff like that. It's really nice.
And it kind of goes through the gamut of like very earthy. Like,
right.
To like... type of thing.
The only one that the only scent that I think is missing is my personal favorite beard oil scent. It's the one I've always gotten, Sandalwood.
Yes.
I don't know if they have a monk one, but I feel like a monk would be a good sandalwood.
That would
class.
Be a good one. Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. Little monk themed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a friar of some kind.
A friar? Yeah, I don't know if there's a D&D class of a friar, but I think there is a monk.
Monk, yeah, okay. I like it. I like it a lot, yeah. Andrew?
What?
What are we talking about today?
Well, Chris, we just finished talking about Tabletop Beard.
And what else What else could we possibly need to talk about? Let's get the hell out of here and end the show.
Okay, sounds good. Chris, Dev Patel plays a young man who loses his mother to religious persecution in a small Indian community and becomes representative of how one man can change the course of his entire life with constant grit and determination. But enough about Slumdog Millionaire. We're here to talk about Monkey Man.
Yes, we are here to talk about Monkey Man.
All right. What did you think of Monkey Man, Chris? Not Monkey Man Chris. The name of it is Monkey Man.
Chris.
I saw a movie. I saw a movie called Monkey Man Chris. What did you watch?
I watched Monkey Man Chris.
Are you calling me Chris?
I can't tell anymore. I'm not sure what the bit
is. What'd you think of Monkey Man?
I really enjoyed this movie. I had a really good time with this movie. Maybe I shouldn't say I had a good time with a movie like this, but I found this movie really, really interesting and really entertaining. Yeah. How did you feel about this movie?
I am so fascinated by this film. And I will say, just so I'm not like bearing the lead, it's fucking fantastic.
It is. It's
incredible. But even more incredible than the movie itself is almost everything surrounding the movie.
Yes.
It almost didn't get made. It struggled just endlessly for the last like 5 years, 6 years it's been in production. Yes.
This has been apparently like just making this movie was like a living hell for Dev Patel.
Yeah.
Just the different things you hear that went on. Well, and
wild too, because like it's his writing debut,
yep.
I think.
Yes.
And it's his directorial debut for sure.
Correct.
I think the direction in this is better than anything else in it.
It's really great.
I think he's an incredible director. I think he's a fantastic performer. I think the writing is good, maybe not great, mm-hmm. or maybe great, but not incredible. It's somewhere in that ballpark.
Yep.
I think he proves himself not only as an emotional powerhouse, a dramatic actor, which he has proven himself to be many times, but as a top tier action star, like in the top 10.
Yeah,
I think he easily slips into that now. He'll probably never do something like this again. And he'll go and prove, I don't know, that he can be in musical theater or
right.
do anything, because the man can fucking do anything.
Right. This is, I mean, he made this because he has a background in martial arts in real life.
Which, who the fuck knew?
Why the fuck not? Why not? Why wouldn't you if you're Dev Patel?
Fucking Slumdog Millionaire was a black belt in Taekwondo.
Right. And so he was like, I want to do an action movie. Like, I want to do like a Jackie Chan or John Wick or type of thing. Like, I could do that. And everyone's like, they don't cast Indian people as that. And he's like, well, fuck you then.
I do. He's like, I'll cast Indian people in that.
I'll make my own. I can do this. And he did. And there were many times during this movie, you're right, this is his directorial debut. And there were many times in this movie I thought, Dev Patel, you crazy lunatic, why would you make this the first movie you ever direct?
Yeah.
Because some of the shit in this is off the wall bonkers.
I know. It's so good.
And you forget, my mind would forget that he directed this through several portions of it, simply because it cannot conceive of the fact that the man on screen would have also had to be behind the scenes,
yeah.
setting up shots
just and making checking sure the dailies and every checking 5 minutes.
The
dailies
and making sure there's no hair in the gate or whatever the hell.
Right.
Like, just crazy, the crazy amount of stuff that well, they have
frankly,
to do.
Well, frankly, for me, that's less impressive to me because people do that all the time, right? There are tons of people who are a lead actor
they
who's
do,
also a director.
But just like as your first movie.
Well, sure.
You know
but
what I mean?
What astonishes me more is not even, I mean, even before you get to the fact that he is also in front of the camera as well as behind it, is just that this movie that I just watched was directed by someone who has never directed before.
Yes.
Is fucking crazy to me.
Bananas. This guy is insane for taking this. You see this, some of the fight scenes in this and some of the other shit in this, and it's so inventive.
Yeah.
And it's so brilliant.
There's so many long single shots.
Yes.
In fights. Here's another thing, too. I think the marketing for this film, and maybe not even official marketing, but a lot of the sort of word of mouth is mm-hmm. disingenuous. It is also partially some of the marketing. Netflix planned. So, OK, we should start off. It was originally picked up by Thunder Road, who then sold it to Netflix. Mm-hmm. And then Netflix decided they thought it was too touchy a subject
right.
to release. So they started shopping it around. Eventually, Jordan Peele watches it. Yep. I don't know how, but he watches the movie, calls Dev Patel's agent and is like, hey, I want to talk to this guy today. And so Dev Patel rushes home. He picks up the phone. They have a conversation for 4 hours. And part of it, I think, is Jordan Peele not only loved the movie because it's incredible, but also has his own production company called Monkey Paw, which Monkey Man, Monkey Paw, sort of kismet. And then he sends it to Universal, who picks it up. Dev Patel, the first day of filming, breaks his fucking hand. Yep. It's 2019. In March of 2020, there's a fucking pandemic.
Yep.
It's so fucking crazy.
The amount of things that you hear this guy went through to make this movie. Like, he broke his hand and his foot.
He tried to get someone else to write it. He tried to get someone else to direct it, yeah. And no one fucking would.
He had this idea. He tried to get somebody else to write it. And they started doing it, and they were like, buddy, you, like, this is in you. This is your story. You need to write it. Now, he's not the only writer credited, so they helped, helped shepherd this along. But they were like, this is your story. Like, you have to stay on and write this. Then he was like, great, but I'm not directing it. I want to be in it, so I can't possibly direct this movie. He tried to get people to direct it. Nobody wanted to touch it. Nobody wanted to do it. So eventually, at one point, Neil Blomkamp was going to do it. He was going to direct it.
Oh, see, I don't think he was ever going to do it. I think Dev Patel went to him.
He went to him. Sorry, you're right. I'm misstating that. He went to him, and Neil Blomkamp was like, after talking to you, I can't direct this movie because, like, this is so ingrained in you. You need to be the one to direct this movie.
It was also specifically, I saw an interview with Dev Patel, and he said it wasn't only that. It was also that Neil Blomkamp was like, this is an inherently Indian story. And right. He's like, what am I going to bring to this?
Exactly. And he's
other than saying action.
Right. And that's what I mean. He's like, this is in you. This is ingrained in who you are. You need to be the one to tell this story. So he's like, well, shit, now I got to direct this movie as well. Then he starts directing the movie. He breaks his hand. He breaks his foot. Some of the fight scenes in this, you'll notice, are like, he's only using one hand and one foot, and they're cutting frames and they're cutting around it because he can only use his right, or I don't know which hand he broke, but he can only use his right hand and his left foot or something in it because he broke the other two. He got an eye infection. He got all this other shit. A pandemic broke out. They made the whole movie. Nobody wants it. Jordan Peele wants the movie itself. Should get this. Should have some sort of Heart of Darkness like documentary on how this movie got made,
yeah,
attached to the movie itself. Because I would watch that as well.
Also, so what I was getting at as well with the marketing and the way that it's been sold, evidently Netflix's plan was to market this as, quote, John Wick in Mumbai, which is what I have heard.
Yes.
And halfway into this movie, I was like,
it's not that.
This is not at all,
yeah,
like John Wick. John Wick, in fact, I'll read this. I was going to compare it, but Dev Patel does a great job. He says, of this decision, Netflix didn't really know what they'd bargained for. The actual film itself is a lot denser, and it's saying a lot. It's not your usual action scene on page one, and then you continue fighting nonstop. It's trying to do a bit more, yeah, which is absolutely true.
100%
this is
true.
A drama at its heart, and it has amazing fight scenes sprinkled, yes, in around the drama. This is not a guy's dog gets killed and then he just goes on a 2-hour rampage.
No, this is something much more powerful and much more political and much more deep. By the way,
it's very poignant.
I feel like we should do a quick a plot of what this is without spoiling it. But basically, Monkey Man, Dev Patel plays a guy who something. I'll just put it this way, because they don't really come out. They kind of hint towards it, and I really appreciated this, that they kind of hint towards exactly what happened, and you kind of feel what happens, but they release the full story of it slowly throughout the movie. That you get the exposition as much as you need when you need it, right? But Dev Patel plays basically an underground,
like a cage fighter, yeah.
Like a cage fighter, it's almost heavyweight wrestling-esque aspect to the whole thing, but this underground fighter who clearly has some sort of agenda or revenge scheme that he's been kind of cooking up, and he's basically trying to infiltrate this organization to get to the person that he needs to get to avenge something that has happened in his past. And that in itself sounds John Wick-esque. But then, through watching the movie, it is much, so much more than that. It is so much more than that. And I remember actually in part of, maybe within the first, let's say 30 to 45 minutes, because I'd been misled by the marketing of this movie.
Yeah.
The idea of like John Wick in Mumbai. I was a little disappointed in this movie.
I was as well.
And I was like, oh, this is not.
I think it does a disservice to this film.
It does, because about 30 minutes to 45 minutes, you start going, are they going to get this guy? A kind of sucks as a fighter.
Yeah.
He's not good, which in the end I ended up appreciating. But like, again, thinking that this guy is a man with a certain set of skills to take from another movie, I'm just like, this guy kind of sucks. And then I got to watch this guy for 2 hours.
Additionally, a lot of the main fights that you see in the trailer that look like they are part of sort of the last 45 minutes of what would be a John Wick style film happen in like the first 30 to 40 minutes. And then it's sort of emotional drama for the next hour.
But then when you sort of settle into what the movie is, you go along with the ride, and it's really powerful and really poignant. And then it takes a turn and it kind of does become John Wick for a little while. And then it stops being John. It starts being John Wick, and then it stops being John Wick, and then it really becomes John Wick at the end. So if you're a John Wick fan, honestly, I think you would like this movie.
Yeah.
I can definitely see.
If that's all you're interested in, though, like if you just want a movie that's a dude just like barreling through people, this isn't it.
It's not that. But if you enjoy John Wick because of the creative fight scenes and things like that, and you're like, oh, that was a new way to see an action movie, this is definitely something like that. That part of it is very John Wick, and that you'll enjoy that. Because like I said, it's very much not John Wick. Then it goes real hardcore John Wick. Then it stops being, then it's kind of Rocky for a little while. And then it's like John Wick 2, 3, and 4 put together.
Yeah.
It gets kind of bananas at the end.
I also wrote here, Dev Patel should have played Spike Spiegel.
Yep.
In Cowboy 100%. Bebop. Yeah. And I put here, he should still play Spike Spiegel. And then I wrote, here's another thing, though, because I thought about it more and I was like, actually, he's not a great choice for that role, because Spike Spiegel is all about like covering up his emotions. And Dev Patel wears his heart on his sleeve so well.
Yes, he does.
You never question what this guy is going through. Like, it's he shows you he's meticulous in his craft, like in the emotional storytelling of his characters, where like you can see every thought he has anytime he looks at the camera.
For sure.
So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe, and I don't think you'll get this, but maybe a Nicholas D. Wolfwood from Trigun would be a good, if they ever do a live action of that, he'd be a good.
I'm going to say yes to that.
Great.
I'm going to say yes to that.
Maybe that'll be a reading assignment at some point. Trigun. It's the same exact length as Cowboy Bebop. It's often called a companion piece to it.
1,000 issues? Is that
no, what we're 26 episodes that are like 20 minutes long.
That feel like 1,000 issues.
How dare you?
Sick burn.
How dare you? So yeah, this is a great fucking movie.
Fucking fantastic.
I felt a little bit at the end of when I watched Joker for the first time, I got to the end and Melinda was like, man, I really want to see that again. And I was like, I do not. And I enjoyed that movie, but I was like, man,
I'm good.
Oh, woof, you know?
Yeah.
And I got to the end of Monkey Man and I was a little like, I don't want to watch this again.
I kind of want to watch it again, actually. I'm really kind of into this. I was into, like, okay, let's get in. Do you want to do spoilers? Do you want to talk a little spoilers?
Sure. Spoiler? I don't know. It's weird because, like, a lot of what you already said is kind of a minor spoiler. Like, you kind of, like, the first 30 minutes of this movie, you kind of don't know. Maybe he's trying to get revenge. Maybe, maybe not.
You know,
I don't really know what this is
going on, and you don't know quite
kind
what.
Of, but also maybe not.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. You know, he's going after somebody.
Even then, I don't know. Maybe, because that's the thing.
But I'm like, why and for what and what's going on? And
he doesn't even have a fucking name.
He doesn't. I don't think he has it throughout the movie, does he?
No. In fact, I didn't realize as I was looking it up and it was like, Dev Patel plays Kid. Because everyone's just like, hey, Kid.
That's what I thought he's credited as.
All right, let's get into spoilers.
Yeah. I mean, the cast is great. There,
aside from Dev Patel, how dare you?
Well, no, I'm just saying we've talked about him already.
I know. that sounds like a diss. Everyone's great aside from Dev Patel.
From the man who's in the center of this entire movie. No, he's absolutely fantastic in this movie.
Evidently, the woman who plays, I'm not going to remember any of these characters' names, but the woman, the lead woman in it,
Talking about the hotel woman or the... Or
the romantic interest.
Got it.
Was cast, I believe it's her, was cast 5 years ago and didn't find out until like 2 years ago.
That she had been, that she's in the movie? That she like had a part in the movie?
They wanted to like film a bunch of other stuff first and like get the writing done and film all this other, you know, and do whatever they needed to do. And they didn't want to waste her time, especially once the pandemic hit. They want to be like, all right, you're in the movie. And then be like, we don't know when we're filming.
Yeah, so you have we're going to hold on to you and you can't do anything else.
Dev Patel said that he knew that she was the one that he wanted as soon as she walked into the room.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great at it. Again, I mean, the entire cast is great. Indian Freddie Mercury is great, whatever his name is. That's all I could see.
Yeah.
As soon as he came on screen, I was like, Freddie Mercury?
That's funny.
That guy has
a big jaw and a mustache. Yeah.
He's got a big jaw and a mustache. And I was like, wow, this guy.
Yeah.
Really.
And then he starts singing Someone to Love. And I really see the resemblance, especially once he came out in the white tank top holding a microphone.
Yeah.
I definitely saw
there is a Roxanne reference in this that I was like, okay, we don't need that. Like
that felt like a Jordan Peele audition because he loves those like music needle drop things.
Yeah, but it was here's the thing though, that one I was like, oh, that felt like I was going to say that was felt like a Dev Patel thing only because I'm like he's a first time director.
Yeah.
And that felt like a first-time director move of like, hey, we're in with a bunch of hookers. Let's play Roxanne. And I'm like, and then I had another thought of like, am I so old that I know what this song is? And so maybe younger people are like, oh, what a creative, I've never heard that song. I don't know what that song is.
I got to go home and listen to this. Oh, did you know it's about hookers?
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I know
it's about. No, I think it's a Jordan Peele thing. I don't think that would be Dev Patel's jam. Here's the other thing. It's a producer thing, right? The music that gets chosen at the end is a producer thing. Almost always.
Yeah. Because
the director doesn't usually choose. They might have suggestions.
Because they got to get rights and all that good stuff.
And it's probably owned by Universal.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably true. Yeah. There's some moments in this that are not slow, but like
contemplative.
Yeah. Or
kind of introspective,
sure. Which there were parts of it that I really appreciate. Like he gets the just ever living shit beat out of him.
Yeah.
And then
he's good at that.
And then he goes into this kind of monastery. And that part where it slowed down, I was like, I really like this.
Yeah.
I think the first 30 minutes, it kind of jumps into it. And normally I'm down for it, like jumping straight into a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, this guy sucks at what he does, but he's like able to do all this other, he's plugged into this network and everything. It was a little disjointed to me how this guy can do all the things he can do, but also not be good at, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I also don't know that he was bad though. I think he was told when to throw the fight.
Even in the beginning, like that first fight?
Yeah.
Is he throwing the fight?
Which is why he was like, where's my money? And they were like, you need to bleed more if you want more money. Because he was already going to lose, but it's about how quickly you lose, how big of a performance you put up while losing, you know, and how much you bleed.
I didn't grasp that. I didn't grasp that he was until the fight that he threw to get that new job.
Right.
I didn't grasp that he was throwing the
fight. Which is why, what's his name? Ickes, the dude from District 9, Copley. Yes. Why he is like confused when Monkey Man starts winning. It's not that he's like, wow, you're actually really good now. How'd you get so good? He's like, hey, man, this isn't the fucking deal. You go down.
That's the thing. That's that wasn't completely clear to me.
Yeah,
but he's also not a
fucking hitman, which is why he has difficulty with fucking Freddie Mercury or whatever his name is.
Yeah. No, that I got.
Yeah,
I got why he would. And I like that. I like that he was like clearly in over his head in this situation. What I didn't get is that his fight club is not really like Fight Club. It's more like the WWE.
Right.
It's like a fixed thing. And to the point that I was like, there were a lot of times where I was like, why is he not like bruised beyond belief whenever he's not in that mask?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they're faking all of this.
Right.
Which didn't really click for a while.
I also wonder if the mask keeps bruises from forming?
I guess, but I was like, no, because he also, well, that's the other thing is they were like, you get a blood, it's called a bleed bonus or whatever it is.
Right.
But he had already like, we pulled out some thing and he spit blood into the thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, so he is, and blood came out like onto the mat before. And I was like, he did just bleed.
But not enough.
I saw him bleeding, but not enough.
And I think that's and part I'm of like, the argument is he has is he's like, dude, I'm bleeding all over the fucking place. And he's like, not enough.
Right. And that's what I mean. That's where I was like, I didn't understand. Like, it wasn't clear to me that this is rigged. I was like, what are you talking about? When I heard the blood bonus, I was like,
It was clear to me. I got it.
I got when they said blood bonus, I was like, oh, this is some sort of like wrestling thing. But not, but I was like, I'm confused on if they're really fighting or they're not really fighting or whatever, sure. If it's style, like, I wasn't
confused. For me, it was like he had never tried to win,
right.
But it didn't matter because it was all an act anyway.
Right. But also, I think maybe this was due to, due to the marketing that I saw.
Right.
Because I'm going into this thinking he's an underground fighter, like a UFC fighter.
Right.
And that he is this John Wick like thing. So it's a little, again,
like he's competing for money.
I can't tell what was not clear storytelling at the beginning and what was bad marketing.
Right. It like more. Did you see the remake of fucking.
Yes.
Fucking yep. gotta save the Florida bar. I'm a rough and tough man.
Roadhouse. I've not seen Roadhouse.
You have not. No. That's how that starts. Is he's in like an actual like,
UFC.
Fight.
Yeah, he's a UFC.
It's not
fighter.
UFC because that's but like the brand.
But it is.
But it's not. It's not. It's like an underground. It's more like this, but not rigged.
Right. But I'm saying it's UFC. Like it's real fighting. Is what I'm saying.
Sure. But you. Okay. Fine. But UFC is
UFC
like
UFC is not heavyweight wrestling. UFC is like you actually make contact with a punch and you really punch a guy and try to knock him out.
Yes, for sure. But it's also like regulated and blah. Blah, 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 blah. I just wanted to differentiate.
But I'm saying there's a difference between heavyweight wrestling and...
Agreed, yes.
Yeah.
But this is what he's doing at the beginning. This is even below that, where, like, there's no regulation. It's like people ducking away from the cops in a basement somewhere fighting.
Yes, this is underground wrestling, which is it's like backyard wrestling.
Yeah. So that's what he's doing at the beginning of the Roadhouse remake, whereas this is that but rigged.
Right, that's what I'm saying. This is like backyard wrestling.
So, I see. So what I was saying is that like what you were kind of confused by is you sort of thought it was like how Dalton starts Roadhouse, where like, wait a minute, doesn't he make money if he wins? Because that's what he's doing is he goes
and that's
in
what I was thinking.
And he's trying to win so that he makes his money.
Right.
But that's not what's happening in this movie.
But that's not what's going on. And that explains why he's kind of a shitty fighter at the beginning of the movie, and then
he's really good at getting the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah, he can get the shit kicked out, and then when he's trying to fight back, like he's not very good at this.
He also doesn't have the emotional stability, which I found was interesting. Like that's one of the things that makes Dev Patel such a good actor and writer in this, is like his hang up is not that he is necessarily a worse fighter than the other person he is fighting. He's fucking scared shitless about shooting like the chief of police.
Yeah. He knows there's a real consequence to this. Yeah. That was the only thing that really like got me. There wasn't really anything major where I was like, well, here's a major plot hole. They make a specific, in fact, this is so much not John Wick that they make a John Wick reference in it.
They do.
Which I'm going to be honest with you. As soon as I heard that, I was a little disappointed.
Really?
Because I was like, I'm into this world. I really enjoy this world. And I was like, I would love it if they left it ambiguous for a possible John Wick. Like, if this movie does well, to incorporate this in the John Wick universe, because I'm I love this world.
Like those two characters could meet.
And it could possibly meet or anything like that.
I mean, they still can. Nothing means anything.
That's true. Nothing. That's very true. But I'm just like, as soon as I heard that reference, I was like, shit. So this is in the real world. Okay, fine. But it's not really. It's very heightened.
Yeah.
It's already a very heightened.
What'd you
thing.
Think about the trans army?
God, I love that army.
It was so good.
It was so cathartic to see those people show up. Oh my gosh, that was fantastic. And there's something very cathartic about watching an army full of people from that community come in and just beat the ever living shit out of people who would totally judge them and at any moment persecute them. Like, just fantastic. They were just ruthless, too. They just run in and just, oh, I loved it.
This is just such an underdog story, and I am a sucker. If I am nothing but a sucker for underdog stories.
But it's also great over the top. Like, that whole third act is way over the top in such a beautiful way. It's Enter the Dragon in every single aspect, to the point that it's him literally making his way up a tower to the big bad. I'm sad.
I think you might be thinking of Game of Death, not Enter the Dragon. Am I thinking of
Game of Death?
I think so.
All right, cool. I'll go with that. Enter the Dragon, he isn't going through like a building to get to the top to... And he has to fight boss people.
There is a boss. Game of Death is about him going from like one level to the next, to the next, to the next, and fighting a different person on each story.
Okay, so I'm thinking of Game of Death. All right, so I'm thinking of Game of Death then. All right, but it was very, it was just, it's Bruce Lee. It's very Bruce Lee in that way.
Enter the Dragon is where he fights the guy in the mirror room.
Oh, and yeah.
And the guy's got like a knife for a hand.
Yeah.
Or he's got like a claw.
Yeah. There's a little bit of that in there too.
Yeah.
Tiny little bit.
Yeah.
When he's fighting Freddie Mercury in the VIP room or whatever. In the champagne room, as it were.
Yeah.
But I will say this. Okay. Okay. Here is one thing that I thought. He gives Freddie Mercury... He's passing out cocaine in this champagne room.
Yeah.
And then we're just going to call him Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, that's fine.
There's nothing I can do. And then he gives Freddie Mercury cocaine, but he mixed it with bleach so that it would... like make him ill so he would go into the bathroom so that he could go in there and shoot him. Couldn't you just give him bleach? Couldn't you just have him snort like a bunch of bleach and just kill the man? Wouldn't that kill you?
I did have that thought. Here's what the problem with that might be, that if something were to happen,
right,
maybe an ambulance would be called and he might be fine if they flush him out in time.
Yes, that's true. But I feel like that attempt, because he was going to shoot that guy in the head and then just walk out the door, like in his mind, you know, or he was going to shoot that guy in the head and was prepared to die for it. Right. So I'm like, wouldn't you, if you have a vial full of bleach and you give that to the guy, you could easily pass it to that guy, watch him snort a bunch of bleach.
Here's another
thing.
And
then walk out the door just as much.
Here's another thing. And this is something I was worried about happening as the scene played out. What if he does it and he's like, hey, my darling, I got this for you.
Yes, that's a possibility as well.
Right. So I wonder if that was part of it, too, because so if she takes it, she'll just get
sick and not really.
Right. And well, yeah, exactly. And my big what I felt was his biggest concern was accidentally shooting someone else. And that's why he wanted to get the guy into.
Oh, yeah. I understand why he would want to get the guy in the bathroom to shoot him by himself. But I'm would you need to shoot him?
Yeah. But that, because that was a thought I had, was I was like, oh, shit, he's going to have the hooker do it or something. And then he didn't. But that, you know, maybe that went through the kids.
Right.
Mind.
But that's what I mean.
Something could happen where it gets handed to the wrong person. To the wrong person or something.
Yeah, I guess. But also, he's the one passing it out.
Yeah, but somebody could be like, what are you doing? He already had that. This is for this. You know, you never know. You know what I mean? Because he's not the guy in charge.
Yeah. But also, it doesn't strike me. He seems to have a plan, but not like a full plan.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I feel like he felt like he was going to John Wick this.
Okay, maybe. So maybe that's what it is. He's just like, no, I want the satisfaction of shooting this man. That's the only thing that I could think of is like, why wouldn't he?
Right. Well, and also, yeah, I thought he was going to, he felt like, oh, I'll just get a gun in there and then I'll blast my way out like a fucking old Western. And then he goes to do it and he's like, oh no,
I can't do this.
This is very different than the movies.
Yeah. But like I said, that was one thing that I kind of like bumped on, like, why not just, and there, I'm trying to think I can't think of them right now. There were one or two times like that where I was like, why not? Why not path B instead of path A type of thing? But nothing. All of this is very minor.
I don't think I had any of those.
Because this movie is great.
There was one where I was like, when he was trying to figure out where the dog was coming from, and then we finally see where the dog is coming from, and I'm like, that's a big fucking hole in the fence. Why didn't you just climb in through the fence?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Just pass it. Why didn't you go to work early, throw the gun through the hole, just let it Let it sit there, right? And then just walk around the corner and just get the gun.
Because I fully expected it to be like the dog is thin enough to fit between like where the fence pole and the building meet or something. Right, and a person wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, it has to be the dog.
Right. But I was like, oh, there it is.
Also, the gun and the dog would have to be able to fit through that thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like if that hole is only big enough for the dog and then he's got the gun in the mouth, I'm like,
right. Or even like,
you'd be fucked.
Even like if the dog was coming through like a tiny vent where like, because Dev Patel was like, where did you come
from?
The
dog is just John McClaneing itself through a duct. I just mean like somewhere.
Dev Patel, when he first sees the dog, is like, where did you come from? And he doesn't think to like just go and look at the direction from which the dog comes.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, there's a fucking hole here that I can just throw the gun through.
Yeah.
Whereas like if he had followed that track and it goes to like a pipe and he's like, well, it's not like I can just shove the gun in there. I don't know where it goes, you know, then attach it to the dog and then the dog comes through the pipe or whatever.
It does. I mean, it works for his character because as we said, like he's not fully thought this stuff out.
Right.
You're like he's the type of character that has not fully thought this stuff out.
Yeah.
Like you get the feeling like he's even in the underground heavyweight wrestling thing, not for any sort of reason that like somewhere along the way he got into this and he's just almost, I don't want to say too lazy to get himself out, but like, he's just like, well, what else am I going to do?
Well, it's what he's really good at, right? He's not good at anything except taking a beating.
Yeah. And I like that at the beginning of the movie, he's kind of good at that. Like he's good, but he's not, I guess I should say he's good at it. He's not great at it.
You know what I mean? Good enough to make a lot of money.
Exactly. Exactly. So all of this is a build up to him. Like, you know, there's a nice catharsis at the end of like him really kind of coming into his own and then just kicking the ever living shit out of everyone he meets. So good. This movie was great. This movie was fantastic.
Yeah. I'm going to see it again pretty soon. Actually, I think this may be
one I'm purchasing. This may be a keeper.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to move on to the reading assignment?
Yeah. Let's go into the reading assignment.
Chris. Yes. Sorry. I'm thinking about the reading assignment.
Chris, Holy Roller is a recent comic written by Joe Troman, Andy Samberg, Rick Remender, and art by Roland Boschi. The comic is about a Jewish ex-bowling champion named Levi as he goes up against your local town's Facebook group. His goal is to stand up against the bigots of his hometown using his bowling know-how and equipment. But does he have the balls? I assure you, he does. He's got like 50 of them. If you've never been on the Nextdoor app, this is what it's like. Chris, what did you think of Holy Roller?
I also really like this. This was a good couple of weeks because I've gotten two things where I'm like, I really like these things. I had a lot of fun with Holy Roller. I did. I like Andy Samberg. And at first I was like, all right, maybe I'll enjoy this for like an issue or two. And then this is going to get real old. I'm in this. Like, I'm going to keep reading this after this episode ends. I'm kind of into this run with Holy Roller. There is a bit of it that feels like Andy Samberg pitching himself to be an action hero.
Yep.
But also, I'm actually down to see Andy Samberg as this action hero. Yeah. I can fully see this.
He's going to need to get the Marvel trainer.
He's not in the worst shape in the world.
No, but this guy is fucking huge.
This guy is fucking ripped. Yeah, that's true. But I definitely could see this as a movie, as a really entertaining movie. I could definitely see this happening. The comic itself is genuinely funny, which is really hard for a comic to do. It's not always. It's not like I'm not bowling over with laughter, but there are definitely some parts in this that I was like, oh, that's definitely Andy Samberg right there.
Yeah, for sure.
I can definitely hear it. And it reads really funny.
The first page has John Goodman from The Big Lebowski.
It does. It was such an obvious reference. But I really like this. I really enjoy this a lot. What did you think of this?
I actually had the experience you said you were worried about. I was like, yeah, maybe this will. I read the first issue and I was like, yeah, this is fine, but I'm gonna get sick of this. And then I kind of got sick of it.
Really?
I think it's fine. Yeah, okay. I think it's okay. I think it is funny, but I also think, I don't know, there's a lot of stuff where I'm like, where did this suit come from?
Yeah.
How much money did they have? How are they making these bowling balls? What is going on here? How does he know where these things are happening? It's definitely it's more of a like you were saying, like a Hot Rod movie. Hot Rod, the like Andy Samberg movie.
Right.
It's one of those like, don't think about it too much. It's just it's all for shits and giggles kind of movie. And it's not as good as I was hoping for the description. I kind of wanted to feel a stronger connection to the characters. Okay. It does feel a lot like, we're just having fun. It's going to be all fun and games, guys. And everything's funny and we're making jokes. And at no point am I like, oh, my God, I really want this guy to win. Which is weird because he's fighting fucking Nazis.
Yeah. And that's really, you love when people fight Nazis.
I do. This would fucking be right hate up your Nazis. Alley. So like I want him to win, but I'm not like, that's the thing. I don't want him to win. I want the Nazis to lose. I don't really give a shit about this guy. He seems like kind of a dickhead.
Right. I can see that. I think this will fall into two camps. If you can accept, because I agree with you on all of the faults of it, of like, it doesn't really explain where he get all of a sudden within the, I forget what it is now, what, the third issue, fourth issue or something. He gets this like high tech.
It's the fourth issue. Yeah.
He gets this high tech. It takes a while for him to get that suit.
Yeah.
Even though it's on the every cover.
Exactly. I mean, that too. Yeah. I kept being like, when are we getting to whatever this is?
But it, they don't really explain like where the hell it came from. He just kind of, he has it all of a sudden. He's like a fully formed hero all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And he has the suit and he has all these trick balls and it's like Batman with a bowling ball, basically.
Trick balls, by the way, my nickname in high school.
Oh, very nice. So I think this falls into two camps. Either it'll fall into your camp where everyone go, where you go, well, where the hell did it come from and how does it work and everything, which is a legitimate quest, which are legitimate questions, or my camp, which is basically like, this is already, to me, I was like, this is already ridiculous. The man.
Yeah. Just turn off your brain and sit in the roller coaster.
The guy's killing Nazis with a bowling ball. You know what I mean? Like even before he gets the suit, he's able to do all these crazy shit with a bowling. He's bouncing it off like Captain America's shield and everything else. And I'm like, if you can accept that and just go like, well, this is what it is, then you can kind of go with anything. And if you can't, And then you'll really enjoy this. And if you can't, then you won't. So it kind of depends on what camp you end up falling into. And I can't even say like going into it, before you go into it, you'll fall into camp A or camp B.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I can't even be like, if you're this type of person, you're going to fall into Andrew's side and not enjoy this. And if you're this type of person, you're going to fall on my side and enjoy this. You kind of have to start it.
Yeah, you kind of got to check it out yourself.
You got to check it out yourself. Like, I would definitely give this a high recommendation. Would you still recommend this to people?
Yeah, it's worth a try.
Yeah, because I really don't know who would like this and who wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm not going to continue it because it just didn't, it didn't That's grab me as much as totally I was hoping.
Fair. But like, I could see it being a good recommendation. Especially, again, we're always looking for like, if you want to get into comics and you need a suggestion of like something, this could be a good one.
If you want an Andy Samberg action flick as a comic.
But it is like, one, you're introduced into the world. You don't have to go with any sort of preconceived knowledge of anything. Also, two, it is light and it's funny and it's kind of ridiculous. And so it might be better for people who have never read a comic because it's not so hardcore. It kind of pokes fun at some of the stuff. Like,
sure.
Again, the idea that he can bounce a bowling ball off of like any surface and bring it back to him or anything, or that you can even make a trick bowling ball of some kind.
Yeah.
Is kind of ridiculous. So, you know, it might be a good suggestion for people who are not into comics that want to get into it. It's like, you know, it creates a light atmosphere in order to like kind of get into this idea of reading comics.
Do you know the other people involved with the creation of this?
No, I don't. Are they Nazis?
No.
Okay.
Because Image describes Rick Remender as superstar writer who wrote Deadly Class and Low, but I don't know what those are.
Okay.
And Joe Troman, who is described as Fallout Boy's multi-talented Joe Troman.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I guess he's a member of fucking Fallout Boy.
Oh, that's amazing. That's even better.
Yeah, sure, man.
That adds credence to this for me, actually. I don't know why. I couldn't tell you why. I'm not even a Fallout Boy fan. But for some reason, that makes this better.
So, yeah, I don't know anything that Rick Remender has done. I just looked up other stuff.
Okay.
Let me see. I'm just going to search Joe Troman and be like, do you think he looks like a member of Fallout Boy?
Joe Troman?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you what a member of Fallout Boy looks like.
Really?
Yeah.
Someone who would be like, shooby-dooby-doo-bop.
That one song that they did?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he the singer in Fallout Boy?
That's a good question.
Isn't it?
I'm a musician best known as the lead guitarist and backing vocalist.
Okay. Cool. Cool.
So no.
Okay.
Fucking wrote this comic about killing Nazis with a bowling ball.
I recommend this. I want to see this on screen.
He's an actor. Sorry, I'm still on Joe Troman.
That's fine.
He's a fucking actor.
I thought you were on Andy Samberg.
He has a fucking IMDb page.
And what's on it?
Fallout Boy stuff.
Okay, well that's why he has an
IMDb. Teen Titans Go.
Okay. But did he write songs for it or is he in it?
It says he played Joe in Teen Titans Go.
Okay. So he had like three lines or something.
He was in 90210 where he played Fallout Boy.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Was he the Fallout Boy?
He was the Fallout Boy. He is the boy who fell out.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, anyway, we can move on from that.
Yeah. Would you want to see this on screen?
Not particularly.
Okay.
I guess if they get it to like a... I might check it out if it gets good, if they make it and it gets good reviews, if the trailer looks really good.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, because that's the thing with a movie, right? Is like, I know where it's going to end. Like, I know it's going to end in an hour and a half.
Yeah,
2 hours.
In 2 hours. Essentially, in 2 hours, even if it sucks, it ends in 2 hours.
Yeah, because with a comic like this that's still ongoing,
right.
I think they've made 10 so far. We read the first 5, I think.
No, it has. Oh, I mean, there might be 10. I don't know if it finishes up at 10.
No. I'm saying I think 10 are out now.
No, it's not. I've tried to find. The next one comes out, I think, comes out in a little bit. There's like a little bit of a break. I was like, when is the next one?
10,
yeah.
Then, because I searched like how many issues.
Yeah.
And I think Google AI was like 10. And I was like, oh, all right.
Yeah. Because I was like, I read, because we read what, 1 through 5?
Yes.
1 through 6?
1 through 5.
1 through 5. Because I was like, when is issue 6 coming out? And then I looked it up and it's not coming out till like, it's not even in April. I think it's in May. But we got a little while until it actually shows up. So it might be 10 issues. I can't foresee this being like an ongoing thing. He has to kill all the Nazis at some point.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's the thing, though, man, Chris. You always say stuff like that. But like, as long as it keeps making money, they will keep making it.
Possibly. But also maybe if Andy Samberg doesn't continue doing it. But also he's a busy guy. And so he'll be like, cool, I want to finish this up because then I'm going to move on to the next project.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
Right. But it's also Image. So they own the character. So they can choose to end
it whenever
they want.
You mean like Andy Samberg owns the character,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So like if Andy Samberg is like, yeah, I'm done after 10, it's going to be done after 10.
Yeah, unless, I mean, he could always license it out as well. He could always be like, you guys continue without me or something.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. If he's like, yeah, we could, you guys keep going. But as far as this goes, I feel like this has to end relatively soon. It feels like
maybe
one central plot.
I don't know, man. Regardless.
What's he do after this? Go on to another town and kill all the Nazis in that town?
No, I feel like there could be more Nazis in this town. It's Ohio, Chris.
Oh, that's true. That's a fair point. You bring up a good point.
Did you see the thing about Ranch?
Yes.
I'm telling you, man. I love it when people do their research and there's nothing more inherently Midwestern than, well, two things in this comic. Well, three. Nazis. Two, berating someone who works in a shitty job. And three, fucking goddamn ranch dressing.
Yes, it is. It's everywhere. It's all over the place.
I said that when we reviewed the Black Widow movie, they were pretending to be people who were from Ohio. And I was like, they are deep undercover, because the mom says to the daughter, honey, can you go get the ranch dressing for your dad? And I was like, Jesus.
Yep. That is exactly what they do there.
It's the most Ohio fucking sentence I've ever heard in my goddamn life.
Yep. Do you want to do our reading assignment, sir?
I mean, not really, but, you know, if you got it for me.
Okay. Do I have it for you? That's a great question. I think... But think
my reading
about
assignment
this.
Is the movie Holy Roller.
Believe me, if I could, I would.
I know.
Why don't I give you...
Why don't you?
I'm going to give you Batman Year 100. That's what I'm going
to
give
you. I almost cut you off to tell you we already read that one.
I had to... it's getting to this point. I'm going to give you something and you're going to go, we already read that one.
Yeah.
But I don't think I... Because I don't remember reading
I don't think
it.
We did Year 100. We did Year 1. That's what I thought you were going to say.
Yes, we did. Yeah, I'm going to give you Batman Year 100. That's what we'll do.
See an old man?
Possibly.
Yeah, this looks horrifying.
That's why I thought you'd like it. Because you're horrifying.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I went there.
Wow.
I went there.
Wow.
I went there.
Wow.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to fall out, boy.
You're real proud of yourself on that one. And I'm proud of you for being proud of yourself.
Oh, my gosh. That's the first time I've ever heard that.
Hey, Andrew.
Yeah.
Hey, Andrew.
Yeah.
Hey, Andrew.
Yeah.
Where can they find us?
Well, they can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, Pandora, SoundCloud.com/TheMediaLunchBreak. You can also find us on Twixer, where our handle is at Media Lunch Break. We're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube.com/TheMediaLunchBreak. Head over there to see what we really think, even though we just told you about Tabletop Beard.
Yes.
If you are a nerd.
I am.
And if you have a beard, and as we all know, the answer to both of those questions is yes, regardless of your gender. Head over to youtube.com/TheMediaLunchBreak to click subscribe, and you can check out our videos that will be coming out soon where we're reviewing Tabletop Beard, which is a really cool beard product. You can also find us on TikTok, where our handle is at The Media Lunch Break. We have merch on Teespring. To find that link, get some cool swag. I think swag is free. It's merch, I guess, technically. You can head over to our Twixer, where we have a link to our Teespring. That again is at Media Lunch Break is our handle on twitter.com. You can also head over to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/TheMediaLunchBreak. If you feel like donating some money, giving us a little bit of cash, keeping the lights on, keeping the mics on, keeping the fights on, because we're going to fucking fight.
Yeah, we are.
Tell you what, if somebody donates $100, Chris and I will put on boxing gloves, and we will once a month get together and we will fight. We'll box.
Yeah. We'll fight. I'll fight him.
It will inevitably end up ending in kissing.
Yeah. And crying.
And crying. Wait, is that not normal?
No. That's why I'm saying.
Okay, because that's what normal people do.
That's what everyone does.
That's what
everybody does.
They kiss and then they cry. And then we cry. Okay, good. Yeah. Good. So that again is patreon.com/TheMediaLunchBreak. If you'd like to give us some monies, and we have some cool rewards and benefits, so check those out when you head over there. You can also send us an email at themedialunchbreak@gmail.com. Or visit our website, which is www.themedialunchbreak.com. Give us a rating and reviewing on iTunes, SoundCloud, or YouTube. And special thank you to Julie.
Thanks, Julie.
For getting rid of all those fucking Nazis in Ohio.
Yeah, man. It's about time. Julie was the one who did it. Julie's the real holy roller. Like Andrew said, you can leave a rating and a review, and you can leave a writing app. It really does help. As always, if you leave a 5-star rating, you can leave whatever type of review you want in there. This week, I don't have anything. Just put something in the review box, man. I don't know. Just mash your hands on the keyboard and just put a bunch of fucking gibberish in there. I don't care. Just put it in there. Just mash it in there. Okay, you want to do 40 D's in there? I don't give a shit.
40 D's?
Yeah.
How about 40
right.
D's nuts?
Oh!
I'm so fucking funny.
And I'm so proud that you're so proud of how fucking funny you are.
And I'm so proud that you're so proud that I'm so proud of how fucking funny I am.
Thank you. This has been Monkey Man and Holy Roller. Next week is the best damn day of the week. It's the Tuesday news day.
Oh, shit, it's the Tuesday news day.
It is the Tuesday news day. They come around real quick, don't they?
They sure do. Every other week.
And then after that, let's see. Hold on. We could do... Do you want to do the Fall Guy?
Not really.
Okay. Do you want to do Rebel Moon Part 2? See what I'm saying?
Kinda.
I was like, well, that's the thing. Okay, here we have some options. Here are the options. Ready? It's the Ministry of what is this called? Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Oh.
There's Rebel Moon Part 2. There's the Fall Guy, and there's Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Wait a minute.
Which actually, no, I don't think. No, we can't do Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. That doesn't come out in time.
Wait, we can't do the Fall Guy either.
Can't we? Am I doing my math wrong on that? This comes out on the 23rd.
May 3rd?
And then we're recording Tuesday. Oh no, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm doing my math wrong on that one. So not the Fall Guy. So Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare or Rebel Moon Part 2.
There's the tennis gangbang movie.
Competitors? Is that what it is?
Oh, what about fucking Boy Kills World?
When is that out?
April 26th. We could also see Ungentlemanly Warfare. I'm good with either of those.
Let me look at the trailer for I don't think I've seen the trailer for Boy Kills World, have I?
It looks fucking fantastic, especially if you like Monkey Man.
All right, I'll tell you what. After this ends, let me watch the trailer for Boy Kills World, and we'll decide between
one of those two. Henry Cavill kills Nazis, or Bill Skarsgård kills other people.
If for some reason we can't make it to the movies, then...
I mean, I can make it to the movies.
Then we'll,
maybe somebody's not dedicating themselves to this podcast.
Oh, I see how it is. Then we'll end up doing Rebel Moon Part 2. Which I really don't want to do.
That's not even in this list that I'm looking at.
Want to do that.
I actually wouldn't be against it because people love it when we're upset.
That's true. I'm debating that. Part of me is just like, let's just do Rebel Moon Part 2 because we don't have to go anywhere and I know I'm going to hate it and have plenty to talk about.
We should just you should come over. We should get drunk and we should watch it together.
If we get drunk, we're not going to watch it.
We'll just kiss and cry.
Yeah. Honestly, if we don't get drunk, we'll probably just kiss and cry, though.
Well, right? No, if we don't get drunk and we watch the movie, we'll just cry.
That's true. Do you want to do Rebel Moon Part 2? All right,
maybe one of those three
one
movies.
One of those three. We'll figure it out.
If you have an opinion about which one it should be, let us know.
Put that in the comments. Put that in the little review box. There you go.
Or wherever. Send it to us on Twitter. Send us an email.
Send it out
to
us.
We're on Facebook, probably. Just tell us.
That's the point, guys. Here's the thing. We talked about Monkey Man, and we're going to do the Tuesday News Day, and we're still trying to figure out what we're doing for the following week. So if you have an idea, if it's one of those three, send it over to us. If you're like, you know what? The hell with all three of those things. I got a better thing for you to watch. Send it over to us, right? We're doing Batman Year 100 in 2 weeks. But if you're like, I got a reading assignment for the both of you, send it over. Okay? If you're a creator, you wrote a comic, you shot a film, you made a pilot, and you're like, hey, can you put some eyes on this? Can you put some ears on this? Can you send people towards this? Can you talk about this on the mic? Send it over to us. We love doing stuff like that. Other than that, there it is. There wasn't a thing. Now there's a thing.
Oh, that's how simple it is.
There's a thing now. It's that simple. Go out, make a thing.
So fucking simple.
It's so simple. We talked about it in the class.
Yeah, I bet we did. I bet we went out there and we were like, you guys have no idea how easy this is. It's so fucking easy.
How did you feel about the standing ovation? Did you think that was a little much? I felt a little self-conscious.
Do you
about
mean
it.
The literal one that happened at the end or the figurative one that I had throughout the class?
Start with the literal one and then the figurative one.
Oh, I will.
Yeah. Is that the end?
It's the end of our career.
Yeah.
I feel like that's probably the end,
that's
right?
That's probably the end. That feels like an end.
All right. Yeah, that's the end.
Okay, great.
Of everything, because nothing matters.